Hello there, and welcome to the Get French Football News Preview Show. I'm Nathan Staples, and joining me this evening are Adam White and Jeremy Smith. This midweek has got us catching up on some of the backlog we've had before the winter break. So before we take a look at some league-shaping results and a full fixture list that's coming up this weekend, here are your latest headlines. Stop-start Bordeaux picked up a win on Tuesday night as they won at Angers 2-1. Samuel Kalou kicked off the scoring only for Matteo Pavlovic to equalise in the second half, but substitute Yann Carameau won it in added time. On Wednesday, Monaco and Nice played out a 1-1 draw in the Côte d'Azur derby. Patrick Vieira's men went in front through former Monégasque forward Alan Saint-Maximin, but Benoît Badiachile's first goal earned them a point as Saint-Maximin missed a penalty late on. Elsewhere, Guingamp got a vital victory to deny Rennes a fifth win in a row and a second Breton derby win in a week as Jocelyn Gourvennec's men won 2-1, while Nîmes put down an Emiliano Sala-less 1-0, although he may still have one game left for Les Canaries. Lyon had to come from two goals down to draw 2-2 at Toulouse, but they still surrender third place to bitter rival Saint-Étienne, who overcame Marseille 2-1 to condemn the visitors to ninth and without a win in the league since November. Wednesday also saw Strasbourg play in the Coupe de France away to Grenoble, and they needed extra time to win 1-0, with their reward for that win being a tie against Paris Saint-Germain in the next round. And that's all for now, but for all the latest in news in the world of French football, head on over to our website at www.getfootballnewsfrance.com and follow us on Twitter at GFFN. We start this week with the glut, really, of midweek games that we've been treated to, and a few will pop up in the previews later. But starting, Adam, with Guingamp's big win. It was sort of a mixture of two sides, but an important result for Guingamp is now they've closed the gap to 1 point against Monaco, and it's only a couple more points to the sort of glut of sides that seem to be cropping up in the teens of Dijon, Amiens and Caen. Massive result for them heading into the weekend against the Paris Saint-Germain side. They might get some points off. You know, that's been a successful road for them in the Miller Cup at least, but important for them to start building some momentum.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think this was, as you rightly said there, a huge result really for Guingamp, given how poorly the first half of the season went for them. And the gap between them and, you know, the pack they are chasing seemed to be opening up a little bit. And you generally feared for them. I at one stage towards Christmas, I was sort of thinking that this could be a trois sort of situation before Kumbare went and obviously Gourvennec came back, and they just didn't have the players. They looked sort of broken, really, until that victory over Monaco was really, really big. Obviously, there was a team above them as well, so it closed the gap massively. If they'd lost that game, I really felt that would have been, you know, you could argue it probably would have been it for them, at least psychologically. So that win combined with they were pretty good against Saint-Étienne at the weekend. Excuse me, they were pretty good against Saint-Étienne at the weekend as well. That Wahbi Khazri goal from sort of 30-odd yards, you know, that pretty much settled. Well, it did settle the game. It's the only goal, but it was. Pretty indicative of the fact that they were in the game for most of it and probably deserved a draw for their performance. And so this one as well is huge. And I think, it as well as it being huge for Guingamp, it's huge for Rennes to some extent, as it kind of signposts what might happen for the rest of the season, because we've been very high on Stefan, and maybe this is a sign that the new manager bounces over. It'd be really interesting to see how he reacts and his team reacts to this. I know they beat Nantes at the weekend, but they weren't great there either. And Ben Arthur in particular was a little bit quiet. So I think it could be a huge result for both teams, but massive for Guingamp because they really, really need to close that gap. And you look at the rest of the season with the players they've brought in, some experienced league and talent, as we talked about before, that's proven in this league. They could pull it off. At this stage last season, Metz were in a very, very similar position, or at least approaching that Monaco game from Guingamp's point of view. They're in a similar sort of points position and came pretty close, maybe at least at one stage, and they fell away again at the end. Maybe Guingamp can be that team that pulls off a great escape, but big result for them. Hopefully they can keep their form up and stay in the league, because they're a credit to Ligue 1. They're a well-run club and an interesting team.
Yeah, and it gives them some real confidence, doesn't it? I think Aboah has been good over the last couple of weeks, and he's grabbed the first one, and getting Luka Doe back for the first time since November, and him grabbing the second as well, it just gives them a little bit of a lift and adds to those players that they've managed to already bring in through the transfer window. But as for Rennes, Adam's touched on it really, that Stefan's been had a terrific start really in terms of results, and which has been very high on how they've been doing. But Rennes will always be Rennes, it seems. And at the same time, while they have been better under Stefan, games and results in 2019, at least, I'm thinking of the cup game against Monaco and the game against Nantes at the weekend, they were pretty lucky to come out relatively unscathed. Obviously, they ended up on penalties in the cup game, but maybe that sort of poor start to the winter, after the winter break, has caught up with them finally in an actual match.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that against Stefan having done a great job so far, and he's got the best out of players who, maybe some cases like Bourigeaud, for example, had a really good season last season, but seemed to have lost it a bit this year. He's come back to the top form under Stefan. Saar looks a more consistent player, so. By all accounts, everything coming out of the club, they all love him. They all really want to play to their best for him. So I'm not disputing that he has done a good job. But as you said, Rennes are Rennes, and there always seems to be some relative, but some kind of mini crisis around the corner. And also, I do think that the results were, to an extent, not that the results were flattering, but you look at the opposition, apart from this first match when he beat Lyon away, really on paper, they were all matches, I think, that Rennes should have been winning. And as you both alluded to, the last few matches, needing penalties Brest are doing well in Ligue 2, but needing penalties to get past Brest at home. Against Monaco, they were awful and pretty lucky not to have lost the match in normal time. Against Nantes, again, it's impressive to come away from the derby, away from home and win, but at the same time, Nantes probably could feel hard done by in terms of performance and also in terms of a couple of refereeing decisions that they could at least get a draw from that. And then Guingamp, Rennes weren't so bad this time, but Guingamp does seem to be a bit of a bogey team for them. A couple of very good, very high profile cup matches in recent years where they've done for them. So it was, and as Adam said, I think Guingamp won five of their last six, and the only one they lost was a Casby inspired Saint Etienne. So there's no shame in that. So I think it was always going to be a tough match, and the run was going to have to end at some point. And now's the time for Stefan to show his mettle, and was the winning one a flash in the pan, or was this defeat a flash in the pan? It's going to be interesting to see how they react.
Yeah, like I say, this is the important thing for Stefan now. Is we always thought you always get that manager bounce, like Adam said, but it's just how you react to that, and this will show his mettle really. And in a team like Rennes, it can be relatively inconsistent, and Montpellier aren't exactly the side you want to be facing at this time. But it's much worse for another team in Ligue 1 at the moment, and I'm sure their fan base is almost exploding under the pressure, really. And that's Marseille. They've lost again this week against Saint-Étienne. They've had a horrible start to 2019 with the cup results and league results not going their way. And then you add on to that, Adam, that they've not won in the league since being away to Amiens back on the 25th of November, which is almost unspeakable for a side really like that. Yeah, this is the thing, though, is with these results piling up against them really now, they've conceded lots of goals. They've not kept a clean sheet until before the 2nd of December against Reims, which isn't necessarily the hardest thing to do, really, in all honesty. But you start to worry that how long can Rudy Garcia allow this to go on?
Yeah, and I think you mentioned the Reims game there, and that was 0-0, so they didn't score against Reims either, as well as keeping a clean sheet. It was a pretty sort of deadlocked kind of game. How long can Garcia keep it going? I don't know. I think he's going to be, I think in a normal situation, he'd be under slightly more, not pressure, but he'd be closer to the exit, given if he didn't have this issue of the payoff, if they were to get rid of him. I read it would cost 15 million euros to get rid of him and his staff if they were to sack them, having signed, as Rich was talking about on the pod at the weekend, because they signed that new contract relatively recently. So I think that he's going to be given as maybe to the end of the season, unless it really deteriorates and they have to act. Because I think the mood around the camp is really pretty poor. You saw there were some great pictures, was very emotive pictures of Marseille players talking to ultras after the game at the weekend with Monaco, Gustavo and Tuvan, which is not necessarily uncommon, but you know, there were certainly some irate ultras talking to the players. And I think that there's a situation where this could sort of develop into a very similar situation to the season they finished 13th in the league a couple of years ago, when they were really, the Velodrome really became a bit of a black hole. When it's half, even a third full, and the fans really get on their back, it really just sort of sucked the life out of the team. And that was kind of the case against Monaco at the weekend. Although there was a relatively big crowd, it was sort of trending in that direction. So there's a situation where Garcia, despite the payoff, the potential payoff, Marseille will just have to act, and for the sake of the club and the atmosphere around the team. Because Dimitri Payet mentioned before, not this game, but the one before, that he admitted that the mood wasn't great. You know, when you're not getting results, it's not a happy camp, and they really do come across as a team that are down and lacking confidence. And if you go through their team and you look at the players that look like they're performing to near the level we expect of them, or that they're genuinely contributing in a positive manner to games, I think you can say three, maybe four. And I'd say Luis Gustavo is still doing his utmost, although his form hasn't been quite as good. Bruno Sarr looks okay supporting Florian Thuban a little bit. Maxime Lopez has been good. And then Florian Thuban is basically running the entire team. It was basically him against Saint-Étienne yesterday or the day before, whenever that game was played yesterday. And he was kind of unlucky not to get his team a draw, but it was basically him versus Stéphane Ruffier. He had some really, really, really good, really good runs and really good chances, and probably should have scored. And without him, I don't know where they would be. So it really is a crisis for Marseille. They're just playing terribly. They don't seem to have so they don't have a plan. It's give it to Thuban and Payet and hopefully they can rescue us. That just seems to be Garcia's plan, and it's not really working. And Thuban's doing his best, but aside from those players I mentioned, they look like their confidence is completely shot, and I don't really know where they go from here. So unless something miraculous happens and form picks up, I think Garcia, end of the season, if nothing's changed, he definitely will go, I think.
Yeah, it's been a real stop-start season. I mean, they've gone out of all the cups at the first stages they've been able to, so congrats to them. That's a weird stat. They've not won more than two games in a row. In fact, every time they've won twice, they've lost straight afterwards, and those doubles are against Monaco and Guingamp at the start of the season, Caen and Nice, and then victories against Amiens and Dijon. So it's not exactly world-class affair that they're doing, and everyone they're playing above them are beating them, Jez. And just to add a little bit of extra spice to this already bubbling broth is the rumours that Mario Balotelli is practically through the door. Nice are on about letting him go almost for a free because he's been that disruptive for them this season. So let's add him to maybe boil over this momentum, really, in a sort of six-month contract. What do you think the Italian might bring? Because, I mean, his first season with Nice as well, and you could argue a second as well, he did have his moments where he scored the goals that he needed to. He can be an excellent presence in the middle, but in this side at this moment, it feels like the chili that makes it go a little bit too over the top.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it can go either way with Balotelli. Probably at every club he's been at, except maybe Liverpool. It's been very good and very bad. Liverpool pretty much all bad, but on the whole, he starts off well and then it goes off a little bit. And I don't think there's anyone that could dispute that on his day and when he's motivated, he's a fantastic footballer. The kind of character that he is and the kind of atmosphere that there is at Marseille, I think it might have been Hadi Bai, a former Marseille player who's a very good correspondent in France now, who said you do need to have a certain mentality to be able to cut it at Marseille. It's not just about ability. And you know, Adam alluded to form a couple of years ago. I know that when Pires was there, there were sort of incidents when they were on a bad run of fans setting fire to the players' cars and stuff. And even after the Saint-Étienne match, originally the plan was, the match at the weekend, originally the plan was for the players to spend the night at the Commanderie, which is Marseille's training camp, rather than risk anything happening with them. They went their separate ways. So there's clearly a really sort of combustible atmosphere there. And the problem is that Balotelli could go either way. If he hits the ground running, he could completely change the atmosphere in one way by having all the fans rallying behind him. If it doesn't go so well, or if he reacts to the fans getting on his back a couple of times, the whole thing could explode. And Balotelli's not the type that's going to sort of hide away and let the fans necessarily have their own way if they do get on his back. So as a neutral, I think it's a fascinating and potentially brilliant move, because you kind of think whatever happens, it's going to be fantastic to watch. Either he's going to sort of pull them out of the fire, or he's going to, be an arsonist.
Yeah, if anything, sort of stoke the flames of anything. But
yeah.
I don't want Saint-Étienne fans to feel like we're leaving them out, because in fact, we're going to move on to our Ligue 1 previews, because we're starting with them and their own derby that will capitalise that at the weekend's games on Sunday night, because it's always an excellent fixture, and it's always, well, except from the one that happened early this season, but ignore that one at least anyway for the time being, because especially at the Stade Geoffroy Guichard, it always is a great atmosphere for this one, Adam, and they were excellent. At the same time, they weren't necessarily, they've been steadily building this momentum really throughout the season under Gaffey. They've been more creative. We've said they've been a more entertaining side than we've seen in previous combinations, but they still got some good players at the back. They're still able to get some good results, and four wins on the trot in all competitions, three in the league. They've just gently built this progress as other teams have slowed down, and they've snuck into third and on the back of what has been, in my eyes at least, I know we wasn't quite voted into the team of the year, but I was propositioning him under sort of a Wabi Kazri player that's been absolutely terrific.
He really has been absolutely terrific. I sort of woke up to a little bit today, because Kazri has been a little bit frustrating to watch this season, in the respect that he's been great. He's been fantastic. He has 12 league goals now, which is very impressive. I think that puts him third in the table behind Pepe and Mbappe and level with Salah. But he's been a little bit sort of cantankerous in league games. He's been arguing with opposition players and the ref, and spending a lot of time on the floor. And it's been quite sort of frustrating to watch. But obviously on his day, he's been absolutely fantastic. And those days have come far more regularly than perhaps they had previously, even last season at Rennes, when he got, I think, 8 league goals that season last year with Rennes. Obviously, it was really important for them. So he's already bettered that tally here. So I think, he's crucial for them now. And you can't argue with his goal tally either. And both his goals yesterday, he won the penalty, scored the penalty, and then his winner is brilliant. He hits it so hard, and the back of the net, the sort of plastic bit that holds down the net, or we imagine it's metal, the bit that holds down the net at the back, was lifted quite clearly off the floor, because when the ball hit the top corner. It was such a dramatic and brilliant goal. So yeah, Kazri's been absolutely fantastic, and we were a little bit harsh on him, perhaps, not to include him in our team of the half season. I think for Saint-Étienne more generally. And there are a couple of really interesting things that again, like I said, I sort of had a bit of a think about earlier. And you look at the league table, and Lille are second, and we've been talking a lot about how good Lille have been, and Nicolas Pepe and Beep and Okone and Mbamba together, and a number of others, Lille and Gaultier as well, and how well he's done to get them playing. But they've got 37 points, played the same amount of games as Saint-Étienne, who've got 36. So Saint-Étienne, we kind of come under a little bit under the radar. They've only got one less point than Lille, having played the same amount of games. And Lille, one of the teams we've been praising so heavily. They're 2 points clear of Lyon, obviously, who are a little bit up and down. But that's an extremely good record. And when Christophe Gaultier was at Saint-Étienne, there was the sort of general feeling that they were desperate to get into the Champions League, that that was their aim for so many seasons, when they came so close to in the race, often to the final day, and ended up finishing fourth or fifth, or came very, very close, or fell away at the end, and they just couldn't do it. And maybe this is the season, sort of almost ironically that Gauthier is their main sort of rival, if you like, but this might be the season they finally, so unexpectedly after the defeat to Lyon last season at the Golf Royal Gishard, and they lost 5-0 and Oscar Garcia went and it was a mess and they were horrible for 2 or 3 months before Gasset took over. But this might be finally the season when they come third and break into the Champions League, although qualifiers would be difficult, but that would be a huge achievement for them. And given they're such a massive club, that go a little bit under radar in sort of general terms, but they're the most successful champions, if you like, in France. They've won more league titles than anyone, and they're a massive team, and their ambition is to be a Champions League club. And this season might be the final season they get it done. Massive credit to Gasset. He's completely turned the club around, made some really astute acquisitions, and got them playing. Got him Villa playing. He was brilliant last night. Got Olaseuna's playing. Moved him further forward, giving him more responsibility in attacking third. He's been fantastic. Look, Perrin had a dip, but in his three-man defence, he looks back to the sort of the leader we all know he can be. Rufier made some brilliant saves last night. Robbie Casio, as we mentioned, has been good. Romy Corella wasn't great last night, but he's got the best out of him in a more general sense. So huge credit to Gasset, and this might be Sinetti's season at long last.
Yeah, it feels like forever. So you sort of had Levé knocking on the door for several seasons, then drifting away. But maybe with the result here, Jez, against the Lyon side that they've usurped and surely have angered, you would hope so, at least anyway, in terms of heading into this derby, that if it needed a little bit more extra pizzazz, it's got it. And again, in the midweek, Lyon did play and they had to come from behind against Toulouse to draw 2-2, and sort of fueled again by Nabil Fekir, who creates the assist for Dembele's goal, an excellent little pass, and it's his sublime free kick that earns them the point, really. And adding on to that Rance game where they struggled and they only really scored a deflected goal due to sort of a little bit of fortune on their side, they never really looked like scoring other than that opportunity. But does that sort of, it sums up sort of Lyon's season, and that now this game that is already big for their season turns into a massive one?
Yeah, it's huge. there's a Lyon fan, he's quite active on Twitter. He went on a fantastic rant today when he looked at the ratings for the players in L'Équipe, and saw that I think the average rating for the players is 3.7, and Genesio got 6 out of 10, and then he was saying they're playing against a team who haven't won a league match at home since August, whose best player was out, suspended, and still had to come back from 2-0 down. It's just appalling. And I mean, we've discussed a lot before where the blame lies, whether it's with Genesio, whether it's with some of the players. I suppose there's an argument for saying that maybe he deserves a little bit of credit in the sense that Fekir has been pretty awful the last couple of matches. He benched him and then brought him on suddenly looking a lot more motivated, and it was him who sort of saved the match. But wherever the fault is, they're not playing anywhere near their best. It's, I think, the third straight match that they've had to come back from behind. They've given up, to their credit, I suppose they haven't lost them, but giving the other team a bit of a head start is really not helping them. Rather, they lost against Strasbourg in the cup, the last two league matches. Saint-Étienne, with all due respect to Rennes and Toulouse, Saint-Étienne are a better team, and they're going to be playing in a sort of boiling atmosphere. I think with no Lyon fans allowed, probably again. I haven't checked that, but that seems to be the way things have gone the last couple of years. If they allow Saint-Étienne to take a lead this time, I can't see any way back for them. The only thing with Lyon is, as we've said so many times before, whether it's because of individual talent, usually rather than great team play, they do have match winners in their team. So if enough of them turn up, it wouldn't be the biggest shock in the world. Lyon always seem to play better against the better teams or the bigger matches than they do against the lesser teams. But certainly on form and the fact that Saint-Étienne are at home, the form that they're in, everything at the moment points to Saint-Étienne sort of stretching the lead or the gap between them and Lyon after the match.
Yeah, it's going to be a really big game if it wasn't already for that part of the world, really. So let's get some predictions. Adam, I'll start with yourself. What do you think the score will be in this one?
Lyon are better against the bigger teams. Two all.
Jez?
I'm going to say, yeah, I'm really not sure because Lyon is such a strange team in that way, but I'm going to say 2-1 Saint-Etienne.
I'm going to agree with yourself, Jez. That was exactly the score I was sort of going for, 2-1. And then it really piles the pressure on, really. They've got Amiens for two games straight, but then the February is Paris Saint-Germain, Nice, Guingamp, who at that point may be putting up some results, Barcelona, Monaco. Not the easiest of Februarys for Genesio, and I'm sure if they start falling out of Champions League contention even by that point, and then if the results start going wrong considerably, then they're he's going to really put a damper on him, really. On to our next.
That, Zahavi is sniffing around the club now and sort of trying to unsettle Bekir and Ndombele and even Genesio himself probably doesn't help the atmosphere there either.
No, it's you don't need to add more fuel to the fire when you're struggling, really. But a side that's not doing that and they've got a real nice bounce. This last week, at least anyway, they didn't play midweek because they'd already played their fixture, luckily for them, is Lille, who will be hosting Amiens, who have been struggling as of late, really, Adam. I mean, at the same time of saying that, Amiens, we never really expect an enormous amount from them. It's been tremendous to see how they've done in Liga and full stop with the budget restrictions they have and everything else. But yeah, you look at the results more recently, they've had one win in their last sort of eight games in all competitions, and that came against the Guingamp, although obviously the cup win against Valenciennes as well. But what's happened is they've slowly sort of fell into this trap I spoke about earlier, where now they're only 3 points above Monaco, 4 points above Guingamp. There's only points separating them and Dijon, and other teams in sort of the mid-table areas are starting to slowly pull away. Are they in real danger of being pulled into this mire?
Yeah, for sure. I think they are. You're right. There is a gap developing, isn't there? There's sort of a bottom five of Caen, Amiens, Dijon, Monaco, Guingamp, and then Angers a couple of points clear. And I think Angers look good enough to stay out of that. And Toulouse, based on last night's performance with Sangare back in the team, probably look good enough to stay out of that too. So yeah, there's definitely a bottom five developing. And I would imagine Amiens will be part of which whatever group is fighting against relegation for the rest of the season. And I think for Amiens, there are a couple of sort of caveats to their form that that we haven't discussed too much on the pod over the last few months, but Christophe Plissier mentions almost every press conference that they miss Moussa Konaté. And I think that although it's not necessarily by him, but it's mentioned by someone anyway, that they miss Moussa Konaté often by him. And that's really been a huge hole that they haven't been able to replace in Konaté. He's missed, 15 games now, maybe? 12, 15 games, and he got 12 goals from the league, 13 maybe goals in the league for last season for a defensive team that didn't attack very much at all and didn't create many chances and were in sort of the lower half of the table for much of the campaign. To get 13 league goals in a league it's very difficult to score goals in was very impressive, and perhaps he went a little bit under the radar in more general terms, but he was huge for them. And he started the season okay and then got injured, and like I said, has been out for quite a long time, and that's where the really poor form has come, because they were sort of building their team a little bit. You know, they were getting Simon Godos in and a few other players in Ganser, although it didn't work out, but he was coming in. Alexis Blanc came in and they were sort of coalescing. But Konate's injury really kind of blunted their attack, and they haven't been able to create many chances. They have no presence in attack without him, because he's quite a physical, puts himself about, quite holding up the ball kind of striker, but scores goals too and brings others into the game. That's something he did really, really well. And there was a little bit of a nice sort of thing developing with Godos, and I like Mendoza as well. I think he can be quite good. He hasn't been able to sort of perform properly because he's been injured, and they just have no attacking presence as a result. And there are a few games where they've played okay and probably last season would have got a point or a win, and haven't been able to find that chance or that finish that Konaté would have provided. So that's huge. And I would also argue that Bogani Zungu is a massive miss, who got a knee injury at the start of the year and has been out for much of the season. And for a club like Amiens, who are a very small team, you know, they're a national team just over 2 years ago, got promoted in their first season in Ligue 2, and Meraxi stayed up last year in Ligue 1 against all the odds. These big players for them really do count more than perhaps some of the other teams we've been discussing so far. They don't. Not only do they have not really any replacements, that they're looking towards their sort of younger players in their youth ranks to replace them. So Konaté and Zungu are massive misses, and I think once they get them both back in the team, that we'll see a different kind of Amiens. And for Plessia and ambulance fans, you have to hope that that will be well in advance of the end of the season, and that they're not too far into the mire that you mentioned previously, Nathan, and you know, they're able to, you know, extricate themselves, because I really like them as a club, and they've got some really interesting players, and I would hope that they stay in a division. And at the moment, without Konaté, got us away on international duty, Ganso didn't work out, they're apparently still the biggest shirt sales for him this season, Zungu out, it's they're just looking like a Ligue 2 team when they sort of put out their 11, and hopefully they can hang in there, but it's going to be tough for the rest of the year.
Yeah, they've got a weird sort of stretch of difficult games, but at the same time, you think that gives them, from sort of, you're looking sort of from March onwards, that they've got a load of games left by that sort of week 27. So they've got a good 11 games where they're not really facing anyone, but the gauntlet they've got is they've played Paris Saint-Germain, obviously, last weekend. They've got Lille this weekend, Lyon next, Rennes away from home, Caen, which is a massive game, Marseille and Nice heading into sort of the end of February. So they could either be miles away depending on how others go, but if they stay in touch, then the rest of the season is Reims, Nîmes, Angers, Bordeaux, Saint-Étienne, Dijon, Nantes, Strasbourg, Montpellier, Toulouse, Monaco, Gangon. It's a strange gauntlet. If they can just make themselves stay in touch, they might give themselves a bit of a chance, but and like we say, Jez, there is a gauntlet, because they face Lille first, who remain in second after a good win at the weekend on last Friday, and they play Friday again. The 3-1 win against Caen was pretty strong, and they've had their time to rest their legs, unlike other teams in the league, including Amiens, luckily for them. But Lille, especially, I think the one we want to focus on, and he's been the focus all season long, but specifically now, given the fact that he's the second top scorer now with 13, and even the top assist maker really with 7, it's a truly, truly tremendous season for Nicolas Pepe, and Lille are going to have to do something monumental to keep hold of him, because someone with big money is going to come in for him, aren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure they will do, but the only thing is I think it looks like the chances are that he's going to stay at least through the summer, which I think is a comfort. And he certainly seems to be making the noises that he wants to, and the club say they don't need to sell, even though the DMCG are right on their backs. The club have basically said that if a good offer comes in for Thiago Mendes, we'll sell him, but they certainly haven't been talking in those terms for Pepe. I'm a real convert to him. I did for quite a while, just think he was all about speed and wasn't convinced that the finish was there. But this season he's been on another level. Although the whole team has been playing well, a lot of it does seem to be dictated by how he's played. Because I thought before Christmas there was a little bit of a dip, and Lille's form sort of became a little bit inconsistent. But against Combier today, he was absolutely fantastic, and it wasn't a surprise that they scored 3 goals, and he was involved in the 3 of them. I think they've got to be resigned to the fact. I mean, even if they weren't in financial trouble, you'd have to assume that someone's going to put in a bit crazy money in the summer. But certainly, considering that they need the funds, I'd be very surprised if he was still there next season. But as long as they can keep him for the rest of the season, and considering that everyone below them is showing quite a bit of inconsistency apart from Saint-Étienne in recent weeks, you have to feel that if he remains on form, then they've got a fantastic chance of staying in the Champions League places.
Yeah, and it will be a terrific achievement. Second or the Champions League places, both combined, will be a real achievement for them. And I just want to mention that I think I gave it a brief mention on Monday that I thought selling Foda Ballatore was a clever move from the club. Despite him being very talented, they've got a little bit of cover in that position, and it's also somewhere they can get a good deal from Monaco, and Monaco get a decent player, but they get some money back that keeps Pepe in the club, which is more important, at least for now. And another player I'd mentioned in the midweek sums, Rafael Leao grabbed another goal. I think he might be another one. If they let Pepe go in the summer, then they've maybe got someone who's maybe not exactly the same player, but a ready-made replacement for at least his goals. At least anyway, if he continues in this kind of form, he does look like a top young prospect, as we might have anticipated. Let's get predictions, and I'll start with you this time, Jez. What do you think the score will be?
I think they've been relatively lucky with this fixture because Amiens are not exactly a high-scoring team. And I think that they'll have Celik out. They will have Celik out, which I think is quite a big miss for them. But it could be worse. They could be facing a team much more attacking intent without one of their best defenders this year. So I think they should be okay. And I think it'll be relatively comfortable. But I'll say 2-0.
Adam?
I think this should be relatively comfortable as well. I'm going to 4-0 Lille.
Yeah, I'll be the middleman then and sticking with 3-0. I just don't know where Amiens, like you say, I said Adam earlier, I don't know where they'll get their goals from. That's the worry with the man still out in Moussa Konaté. They just are struggling in front of goal, especially. On to our next game. We're between two sides that are sort of hovering in the middle of nowhere at the moment, really, in Angers and Nantes. And I wanted to start with the away side because there is sort of slight breaking news tonight. We all know that Emiliano Sala is currently in Wales, which sort of with Cardiff ready to sort of go, but at the same time Nantes are sort of holding up the deal because they want him to play one final game for them, which would be this away game against Angers. Adam, it's sort of an unprecedented sort of scenario where a team is demanding to play their player for one last time just before he leaves again, which it seems a little bit insignificance in a sense, but I suppose not one maybe that sort of final goodbye. But it seems strange again because it's away from home and all sort of, it's an odd one. But the important thing for this, for Nantes really, Adam, is that they're going to miss his goals, which is the most important thing really. And at the same time, I'm pretty sure if I'd have told you that Emiliano Sala was sold for £18 million 18 months ago, you might have laughed right in my face.
Yeah, well, yes, his rise has been really quite spectacular. You know, I don't want to say a late bloomer because he's got 12 goals in each of the last league seasons, and it looked like he'll probably get 12 again if he moves to Cardiff. But having made that total in half the time this season, it really shows his development over the past sort of 6 months in particular, and over the last 18 months as well. He was very good last year too. It's a player I really, really like, I think, and it will suit Cardiff and it'll suit the Premier League fantastically well. He's so physical. He's unbelievably good in the air. The header he scored against Rennes earlier in the year was ridiculous. Sort of coming across goal, he managed to sort of flick it with his head at the near post, quite far out, sort of level-ish with the penalty spot, and sort of glanced off the bar and goes in. It was an absolutely brilliant header, and he's got a few like that this season. And what he's really improved is he's not just a target man anymore. He drops deep if he can, and he'll bring others into the game. He's good on the ball and for his type of player, and he's kind of revolutionised the team at Nantes under Halihodžić. They've really improved with him being given the responsibility as the main forward this season. He's really put more confidence in him, and he's been fantastic. It would be a shame to see him go. It is a weird situation because he kind of flew out before the midweek game to talk to them. To sort of kind of flew back and played, came off the bench for 20 minutes. And then there were rumours in the local newspapers in Nantes that the deal was off because the Cardiff had altered the deal. They dropped their asking price from 22 to 15 million euros, perhaps. But obviously they've rectified that situation, and he's come round to the idea, because I was under the impression that he wasn't absolutely keen to go. He'd been offered, you know, he'd been offered to other clubs before, and that not willing to sell him because it's a lot of money, and he would go to a club that were playing European football, but wasn't desperate to go to Cardiff. I don't know if he necessarily thought that would be the right move for him at this point in his career, given he's 28 and they're struggling at the bottom of the Premier League and may get relegated. I don't know, but so it's interesting that he's sort of been convinced. And he'd be great for them if they can get him playing as he has done this season. But for Nantes in general, yeah, they're going to miss his goals. I don't rate Khalifa Koulibaly, who would be his understudy, came in from Belgium at the start of last season, was injured a lot, but I don't think he's got anywhere in the same kind of finishing ability or presence that Salah has. So you'd imagine if they've got that much money, they'd be able to go out and sign someone relatively cheaply in comparison to the Salah deal. And I think that's probably what they will do if he does go pretty soon. Unless they want to rely on Warris Mangi to play through the middle of the zone, which I don't think would be the best idea. He's a player I really, really like. But I don't know, you could rely on him to score the goals that Salah has been scoring, because he's basically been scoring all of Nantes' goals. So it'd be interesting to see how they react to it. But I'm excited to see him in the Premier League, but it'll be a shame to see him leave France, because he's been brilliant especially this season. So that Cardiff got a really good player.
Yeah, absolutely, and they should be at least a bit excited if he can score the goals that keep him up. But they're taking on an Angers side, just middling at the moment. Really, they since they last played Nantes, which was back in week 14, they've drawn every single game until that game against Bordeaux in midweek, and they almost drew that one as well, bar a final minute goal. It would have been six draws in a row. They're a little bit hard to work out at the moment. It was a bit like sort of the same scenario last season where they kept drawing games. They couldn't win for love nor money, but they weren't losing anything. But at the same time, that meant that they were just slowly sliding, and that seems to be the case under Moulin again.
Yeah, I think similar to the way Strasbourg were for the last year or so until they've sort of pushed on this year. I think middling probably is a very good way of describing them. Similarly to what Adam was saying about Amiens, obviously Angers have got a little bit more experience, a little bit more about them. But I think where they are is more or less a fair position, in that they're probably going to just about avoid the relegation swap, but they probably can't aspire to too much more than, you know, maybe the top of the bottom half of the table kind of thing. They've got, as ever, a solid defence, a decent goalkeeper. They've got a few players who can share the goals around, but certainly can be left. No one that you'd expect really can sort of get into the mid to high double figures. And you know, any team with a really good goal scorer is always going to get a few more 3 points here or there. So, and they're all, as you said, they're always going to be tough to beat, but they're always going to find it pretty tough to win as well. And, you know, even without having looked at their recent results, they're the kind of team that you'd expect to be specialists in draws. And I just think Moulin is doing a brilliant job there on the quiet. It's almost unfortunate that they're so unspectacular, so they sort of go under the radar in everything they do. But I do think that what he's doing then, they're making them a relatively safe bet to remain in Ligue 1 is impressive, especially without the player who carried them last year. You know, similarly to what Adam said about Salah, last year Toko Ekambi probably scored a similar, if not even higher, percentage of Blanchet's goals. That they're still up there, still relatively clear of any relegation trouble. I think it's a real testament to him and the sort of solid squad that he's built.
Absolutely. I think that was a testament to the fact they stuck by him last season, by even at the point where people might have sacked the manager, they gave him a new contract and just sort of reinforced his own ability there. And yeah, it just feels like I almost guarantee every single season that Angers will win a couple of games in a couple of weeks' time. They'll get maybe two or three results in a row and they'll be back in mid-table and we'll go, right, they're nowhere near the dangers again. And that's sort of their season summed up as a pence. I mean, they've got Nîmes in midweek as well, so that's another chance. If they can build on something here, which they might have the opportunity to, they might get a couple of wins that just pulls them completely away from the mire, and we never discuss it really again. But let's go for some results, and sort of leading on that, just because of not losing Salah, and even if he does play in this one, I just feel that sort of that vacuum of him leaving might just be a little bit too much for them, and maybe a 1-0 victory for Angers. Adam, what do you think will happen this one?
Yeah, I wouldn't be against a 1-1 victory for Angers either, but maybe just 1-1, I think, here.
Jez?
They're exactly the two results that I was hesitating between. I'm gonna plump for the 1-0 as well. I'm not as convinced about Salah as the two of you are. I think he hasn't been quite, maybe he has been unsettled, but he hasn't been quite the same form. He hasn't scored since the beginning of December now, so maybe that purple patch, which I do think is quite uncharacteristic of his career so far, has run out, and I sort of understand Keita wanting to cash in when he can. So yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 Angers as well.
Yeah, I will say for Cardiff fans that 18 million does seem a lot for someone that has never scored more than 12 in a season. And this is the first time he's got this amount of goals. It it is a risk if you wanted to stay up in the Premier League. We finished tonight with one last game, and it's Monaco against Strasbourg. And Thierry Henry's men faced Nice in midweek, Adam, and they maybe didn't get the result they wanted, it, but at the same time, it was a little bit fortunate in ways. Nice had a man sent off after a VAR review, and it's arguable it probably is a red, really. But they also get a penalty that's missed when it's 1-1 as well. Obviously, Falcao has that chance in the last minute that hits the post as well. But at least at the moment in Monaco, the difference in 2019, at least, is that there's positive signs and the hope. I suppose the positive thing about the midweek and the players missing out, and I know me and you just had a conversation about this on Twitter, is that at least those players will be fresh for this midweek game, even though it seems... I don't know what you think about that, Adam, the decision that they, because they weren't registered, they weren't allowed. To me, it seemed a little bit unfair, but I don't know what you think about it. And then heading forward, how they might have fare against Strasbourg.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It's caught me out a couple of times. I think it is a league rule, isn't it? It's an official thing. They're not allowed to play if they weren't registered for the original attempt to play the game, which I guess it's to do with the integrity of the league structure. Yeah, so
just quickly, it? Adam, I think my counterpoint on this one was that if a player would have left, so say as a hypothetical, maybe Ronnie Lopez had got a 30 million offer and gone somewhere else, could they get him to return because he was registered in the sort of October time? It seems a little bit, while I get the integrity of it, the opposite version of that is if, for example, Rennes had brought in a load of players over the summer but lost a few, then it just seems a little bit of an imbalance. Well, so if that is the sense.
Lopez was injured the first fixture.
So, yeah,
it's an argument he shouldn't even have been playing either on their weird basis.
Yeah, you're that's an extremely good point and not one I'd actually considered before. And I would have to agree with you that there's an imbalance there, isn't there? Whether you prioritise that integrity of the league above that, it seems like there's an opposite point of view, you know, and I would have to agree with you that does make sense.
Also, the integrity of the league that let PSG go camel racing.
Yeah.
Everyone else is playing
football. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I would agree with that as well. It seems bizarre that they were allowed to do that. But yes, the game in Strasbourg this weekend is going to be a really interesting one. I think this is Henry's first game in charge, wasn't it?
Yes.
They lost. They lose 2-1 in the end or draw 1-1, but they wasn't wholly successful. And I think both clubs have moved on a little bit since then. And both of you could argue Strasbourg definitely have improved and Monaco have improved of late. And it should be a really interesting game. And you're right, those players that missed out will at least be fresh. And I think in a similar way to Toulouse's performance against Lyon was a positive because they did it without so many important players, not just Gradle, but a number of others. That Monaco's performance against Nice was an improvement on their average for sure this season, but did it without Naldo and Fabregas and Bellatore and Van Queer and a few others. So that's always going to be a positive for Henry. And I think Monaco, they've been terrible. Like, there's no getting around it. They've been really, really poor this season. But that there is a huge asterisk next to that that says a lot of these players have been injured. And whatever Henry, whatever you think about Henry as a coach, or whether you think about his potential and the way he goes about managing his side, he's been hamstrung by so many injuries. And if you haven't got the quality, whether it's through the transfer policy or through the, which isn't entirely true because he obviously wasn't there in the summer, and it's something he can't do anything about until now, and the fact that players are injured, you have to at least concede that that's a huge factor. So not only are players like Fabregas and Bellatore and Naldo coming back for this game, but Jovetic got off the bench for the first time in a long time since October at the weekend, and Lopez is, after missing so many games, is back in the team, and we know what a huge player he can be. Djuba Sidibe is back in the team, came off the bench in against Nice. Falcao's sort of back as well. Was injured previously too. So these are all really, I know it's a cliche, but like a new signing. For Henry, it will be that because he hasn't had the chance to use them in his team yet. So it'd be interesting to see how good Monaco are and what Henry does when he has all his players fit, or at least the majority of them. And we may get a version of that Monaco this weekend, given that those players who are unavailable in the week and are injured are back. So on paper, it's a really good side. If everybody fit, and hopefully we'll see that. So it'll be down to Henry. The crux will come when if can Henry get the best out of this squad as a whole in the run in towards the end of the season, whether they keep him on in the longer term, as we talked about previously. But it'd be exciting to watch, and this could be a really exciting game given how Strasbourg are playing too.
And that's the interesting thing for Monaco at the moment, especially at this position now in January, is a little connection of results together will prop them right back up the table, really. If you look at the next three games of Strasbourg, Dijon away, and then Toulouse at home, three wins aren't out of the question, really. I know Monaco have been poor, but they've been better as of late and have brought in a fair few players. Do you think that three wins in that put you on sort of on the verge of sort of 23 points, then they're back and well out of it, really? It's strange how it's really a couple of games going their way will change the tide of everything. But they, saying that, they come against a Strasbourg team, Jez, that must be on cloud nine at the moment, really. I mean, they've won their last five games, if you also include the penalty win against Marseille in the Cup. They've obviously done two giant killings there, where they've beat Marseille and Lyon in consecutive rounds of the Coupe de la Ligue, and they've got a great chance to get to a final against, well, when they face the semi-final against Bordeaux, and then even a game against Monaco or Gangamp in the final. If they get that far, it gives them a chance for silverware, which was, it would be great for them. They've got Paris Saint-Germain in the next round of the Coupe de France in a couple of weeks as well, which, well, not even that, it's sort of next midweek as well, which is terrific for them. And they've got some big wins in the league against Toulouse and Nice, and now they head to Monaco full of vigour in seventh position. I mean, it can't be really going much better for the Alsace side.
No, it's brilliant. I mean, again, because of the inconsistency of the teams above them, they're really not far off the certainly European, but even not beyond the realms of possibility, but they could, you know, be approaching Champions League places soon. And you know, I'm sure that that's not something that even they're expecting to do. But at the moment, they just look such a solid, confident outfit. Not too many spectacular players, but they're all very effective players who are all performing well at the same time. You know, they've got Lala, who's another player who has been linked with a few clubs, again, but both for this January or probably more likely the summer, who his stats the last couple of years for a defender have been fantastic. He's really got something like six assists and three or four goals, which is a, you know, great return. And they're playing to his strengths with three at the back, which suddenly has become fashionable for everyone. But Strasbourg have been doing it for a bit longer than others. And the other thing is that they seem to have a bit of a bit of depth now as well. So you know, with regular strikers out, Ayork has come in and looks a decent enough player. Thomason, I think we've spoken about before, is I think one of the relatively underrated player. I thought he was a little bit at Nantes, and I think he is again this season what he's doing. Got Olu who left, but Sissoko's doing a good job at the moment in midfield. So everyone sort of knows their role. And yeah, I just think that the whole team's performing well. They've got, again, another fantastic manager backing them who's proved that he can do it with smaller clubs. And Strasbourg, I think, you know, historically and fan base and everything, with a bigger club, he's doing it with them as well. You know, who knows, he might be looking sort of upwards at bigger job opportunities the way things are going as well. Yeah, I think, you know, they've moved on from those couple of years of consolidation and being hard to beat, but being very middling. And it shows that if you're run in the right way and you give yourself chances, then there's no reason that you can push on. And, you know, it might be that Europe is a step too far for them, but there's a clear sort of curve of improvement from last year. And even if they do miss out this year, I think top seven or eight is more than likely, and then you'd hope that they'll have the backing to push on a little bit further again next year.
And I think that's going to be the interesting thing come towards the end of this month, at least anyway, is that, does that sniff of silverware, if they can face Bordeaux and get a win there, does that maybe derail sort of their season going so well in the league, or does it push them on to do even greater heights? I mean, if it does derail it, they're only going to sort of finish mid-table, but the chance of silverware is, for a club like that and players like that, where you don't really get those kind of chances very often, it must be incredibly tempting. But let's get some...
I think based on the draw for the semi-finals again at home, for me, they're the favourites at the moment. Obviously, it's cup competition, anything can happen. But if I had to put money on one team right now, I think it would be them.
Which is only going to help them, I think, really. I think they just feel like when you're in that scenario, I think, as a player with those chances, especially in those three teams in Gangomp and Strasbourg and Bordeaux, when you get a sniff of chance of silverware, especially in France, where Paris Saint-Germain have been so dominant over the last 3 or 4 years, just sweeping almost everything, you've got to take those chances, really. And it's a great opportunity for them. But back to the game, really. Oh, that's going to happen this weekend, and let's get some predictions. I'll start with yourself, Adam. What do you think the score will be?
This is a really difficult game to call. I'm going to go 2-2 again.
Jez?
I was toying with the idea of that as well. I still live in hope. I like Strasbourg as well, but I do have a soft spot for Monaco, and I'm sort of still living in hope for them. And I do think that, you know, the stability that Ronaldo brings at the back and the class that Fabregas has, and I thought it was also notable not just how well he played, but how much better Tielemans looked with him next to him as well. I do think that will help them come good, and you know, I'll go for a 2-1 Monaco win. Finally, a home win for them.
I think I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw with a slight caveat after the midweek games. Is if Jemison plays, it would be 1-1. If he doesn't play, I'm going to actually say Monaco 1-0. But it's completely dependent on the Brazilian who has sank in. He was, again, at fault for the goal for Nice and just allowed Alex Maximan to get round him. He's really had a big dip in form, really, and it's alarming to see. But that's all for this week. My thanks to Jez, Adam, and all of you listening at home. Do join us for the main show later on this week. But for now, enjoy your weekend of football.